Today I'm joined by Ebru, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in her late 20s. Now, she calls herself a work in progress, which is a very brave way of looking at things, and she has signed up for the Moonwalk, which she's going to be doing next summer.
Hello, hi. Lovely to be here.
So, Ebru, tell me about what happened to you, because you were diagnosed in your late 20s, and lots of people think maybe sort of menopausal women are more likely to have breast cancer, but that's so not the case. Tell us what happened to you.
Thank you. So it was in 2006, and I was normal, let's say late 20s, energetic, healthy person living in Istanbul, Turkey, which is where I'm from at the time. And I was a newly made manager in a multinational company, and the manager program had, thankfully, a yearly checkup within, let's say, the package. And so I would go to the package. I was there. I would go for the checkup, once a year, and I had done it for the last couple of years. So in 2006, May, I went for that checkup, which is a whole day of all kinds of checks, and everything was going well until I had my ultrasound on my breasts. And it was a very shrewd radiologist. I will call her now a very careful one, obviously, because she was just screening a standard, 28-year-old, 29-year-old female with no previous health conditions. And I always was told that I had quite fibrocystic breasts. And she said the same first. And then she said, in a nice, very not intimidating way, she said she saw a small mass in my right breast that she didn't know quite what to make of. And it was too small to do anything now, but could I please come back in 2 months to get tested, to get it checked again? So I kind of didn't think too much about it. To be honest, I was with my then boyfriend for a year, and we had just decided to get married in another year, and we were moving to a new house, and we were getting the inside done. So I was really busy. And also I was working full time. And then within 2 months, though, I was happy to kind of sleep over it, if you will. But my boyfriend was, I think he, I don't know if he felt something, but he definitely urged me to definitely follow up on it. And yes, I was back in that seat with the same radiologist 2 months, only in 2 months. And the little mass that she had seen had doubled in size. And for her, that was already some alarm bells, clearly, because I later, of course, connected the dots that cancer cells grow a lot faster than regular healthy cells. So such a big change in 2 months, already kind of she had her alarms ringing. And so within the same day, she sent me basically to a breast surgeon that she recommended, who within, I would say, a few days, I had an operation following that. And when they sent what they took out to biopsy, it came back within a week of that with the cancer diagnosis.
Goodness, that's a heck of a shock when you say you're in your late 20s, you're getting ready to start life as a married couple and new house, you say, busy job, everything else going on. What do you remember feeling when you were told that you had breast cancer at that age?
I think shock. I remember, my whole family and myself, we were waiting for the doctor's call, because she had said she would call in about a week, and I think it was just short of that time that she would call. And I had gotten back from work and I was home alone. My boyfriend hadn't been home. We had moved at this point, and the doctor called me, and I had really clicked with the breast surgeon. She was also a young, kind of really already well-accomplished doctor. And I remember she was empathetic, but she was also direct, which is, I think, how you should be. So she didn't sugarcoat it. She was like, as we suspected, unfortunately, it came out as having cancer. And then I just remember, like, I kind of froze in time. I felt like I remember where I was standing in the room. And then as soon as I hung up, like, my mom called because apparently she had called somehow the doctor earlier that day, like a couple hours ago, and she had learned it. So she was on her way over. And she had told my uncle, who was also coming, my boyfriend was coming from work. But there was like this, I would say 15 minutes before anybody arrived. I was home by myself. And yeah, I just remember both functionally trying to figure out what we would do, because I'm quite a doer. I get things done and I make plans. So I was trying to wrap my head around how the journey would be. But at the same time, like a big feeling of kind of emptiness and time stopping, if I recall.
Yeah, I'm sure. Huge shock. And thank goodness you have such a great family who could rally around you pretty quickly after that phone call. Then you went on to have a second surgery where you said they went deeper into the area and checked all the sites. And thankfully, your lymph nodes were fine, which is brilliant. And then after that, you had 6 rounds of chemotherapy and 22 rounds of radiotherapy, which is a heck of a toll on your body, particularly at that young age. What happened after you kind of had gone? I mean, how long did that all take? What happened in that time for you?
I mean, it took about, so the first diagnosis was in July. All the treatment was completed the next March, except for the 3-year-long hormone impactful pills that I took at the back of the cancer. So that's still technically treatment, but let's say the chemotherapy and radiation and the operations, everything was finished in months, I would say. It was heavy. I mean, like my whole life was basically geared through that lens of being in cancer therapy. And I think that's, looking back, that was the one of the hardest things about it, that like that becomes the main theme. It can't be like there's no kind of like being present within your day or within, you know, your worries around work or planning a wedding. Like none of that. It's just such an overriding big theme on my life, and it was on the people who were kind of supporting me and around me. I was taking the 6 chemotherapies 3 weeks apart, except for a while in the middle where I had really low blood values, which then they have to wait to get them back. I mean, there are minor complications. Thankfully, there was no major complication. And I had a good job, and I had a really supportive organization and boss who called me as soon as he learned and said, basically, I mean, it sounds really funny now, but at this point, like, there was no remote working, really. Like, it was really unheard of. And he said, if you want, I can give you a project, because he knew me. He knew I would want to work. And he said, I can give you a project that you can do from home. And I think I was promoted to my then job like 3-4 months ago. And I said, no, I do want to come to work as long as I can. So I just continued my regular job, and I was running a team. And I remember I would take most of the time, I would take the chemos on a Thursday, and I would be back at work on the Monday. So I tried as best as I could to like continue my life, at least with some normality. But I think it would be unrealistic and wrong to say that I did continue my normal life. I think that was, I continued the framework of it as much as I could. But in terms of like what was riding our days and our cycles and all the conversations with everybody pretty much is around, you know, kind of where you are on the treatment, the side effects and what's coming next. And yeah, I mean, 6 sometimes right now, or maybe, God forbid, if I were to start now, I would be like, yeah, 6, you know, it's just 6 times, it has an end. But it does drag on, and it really gets to you at some point. Yeah, it's not easy. I think it would be you know, incorrectly, it was easy. But I know I had it easier, thankfully, versus how I could have had with other complications. And so everything went more or less according to the book, I would say, with small stuff coming up.
How fantastic. And yeah. I know you were saying that you took tamoxifen for the 3 years, and then thankfully, amazingly, you had your first son, who's now 9. And then a few years later, you received your second son, so luckily you'd frozen some embryos and you were able to have your first son, now aged 9, which is brilliant. And then a few years later, you managed to conceive naturally, your second son, who's now 6. Now, talking about the moonwalk, you signed up last year during the pandemic for the moonwalk. What made you think, right, now my time to go and do a half marathon?
You know, it was, I think, kind of a spur of the moment thing, but I never believe things are spur of the moment. I think it must have been brewing inside me. I had learned about moonwalk shortly after I moved to the UK, which was 2015. And it was like a distant desire. I mean, I was also pregnant at the time. So by the time my son was born and I was kind of like out of the postpartum, it was already 2016, was still working full on. I think it was over the last 3 years, probably between 2016 to 2019, that I was kind of having this natural desire to be a bit more open about the cancer. Not that I was extremely closed or even very closed. On the contrary, like if I met somebody new and, you know, we would chat for, let's say, a couple of hours, a few times, like new moms that I met through kids' schools or my working life here in UK who didn't know me before, I would actually feel the urge to bring it up rather soon in a friendship or in an getting to know each other relationship, let's say, because I felt like otherwise it was such a big thing that it would look like I was hiding from it. But still, like, I guess there were groups and circles and that I didn't talk directly about, or I wasn't in a one-to-one relationship. And I think I had this feeling kind of building up, as I said, that something made me, I think a couple of years before that, for the first in October, post photo of me when I had taken during chemotherapy, which is actually on the Walk the Walk blog as well. And I had written a couple paragraphs on it on Facebook. I got like, even though most of these people already knew I had cancer, like I had an incredible amount of comments and messages and incredible support, just showing that braveness. And that wasn't like, I hadn't planned that as well. I remember I was on a train from Paris back to London for work, and I had just an emotional desire to do that. It was October. I'm sure I was impacted of that. And the Walk to Walk came kind of similar. It was at the back of my mind, and then towards the end of 2019, said, actually, I had just finished or stopped, let's say, for that month, full-time working as well, and I was about to start my own business.